There's a time and a place for filet of fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. And we're very pleased to welcome Andrea Stricker of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies to help us clarify the Iran suspect nuclear weapons program and the UN watchdog, the IAEA. There's a new agreement. The old agreement didn't work out. So, Andrea, is this new agreement more transparent, more punitive, more suspicious? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. Always great to be with you. So this new agreement is probably not great for the world. Director General Grossi of the IAEA, who came into office in 2019, pledging to be tough on Iran, he's himself in a tough spot, to say the least. So he has evidence of undeclared nuclear work in Iran. He's detected uranium particles at three sites. But Tehran, for the last couple of years, won't cooperate, and it won't explain why those uranium particles are there or what it might have done in the past. It's required to explain under its safeguards agreement with the IAEA that it has under the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty. So Grossi went to Tehran. He brokered a new agreement that sets out various deadlines of the next few months. Iran is supposed to provide questions to the IAEA's, provide answers to the IAEA's outstanding questions as of March 20th. And then the agency has 2 weeks to evaluate the information, send any other questions back to Iran, and then it has 1 week to respond. The IAEA will have to explain what it thinks of all this by the June 2022 Board of Governors meeting of the IAEA. But the risk is that if we have an Iran deal, if we have sanctions lifting, that Director General Grossi, whatever he happens to say by June, is just not going to resonate with world powers. They want him to conclude this investigation and put it back in a box.
Malcolm. But the Grossi Islami agreement between the head of the IAEA and the vice president of Iran, who's in charge of their nuclear program, what is the positive? I understand what the negatives now. I mean, it just seems to be another cover-up. He was supposed to report by March 20th, right? And I don't think he has a report for March 20th. Is there, does it reopen the negotiation, the examinations that they closed in 2015? It doesn't seem like there's any real teeth to this except to get the deal done, which is, as I think you indicated, is the pressure from the other parties.
Right. I think the other parties just want this wrapped up. They didn't take the undeclared nuclear work or the past military dimensions of Iran's program seriously under the 2015 deal. As you mentioned, they wanted that investigation closed. I think Grossi has said, well, no, I'm not going to close this investigation. That's one positive. So he's not doing what his predecessor, Director General Amano, did, who agreed to close it for the world powers. But, you know, by June, if Iran has received billions of dollars in sanctions relief, why would they really be honest? They've always said they never had a nuclear weapons program, and there's no leverage or incentive for them to cooperate if they get this nuclear deal and the relief associated with it.
So there were no reports this past Sunday, though, as Iran had promised.
I heard that something was submitted to the IAEA. I don't know how rigorous or extensive it was or honest. I'm sure the IAEA is keeping a close lid on that, but we may hear reports of that soon.
Our allies participating in the JCPOA, because we're not at the table, although it's through surrogates. Are the allies okay with this, what you'd have to say, dismissal of the IAEA's work?
Well, it doesn't look good to have an open safeguards investigation at the same time as they're giving Iran sanctions relief. But the whole deal, the original JCPOA, was premised on just saying, we know that Iran had a nuclear weapons program. We don't need to know the details. We got them to agree not to go forward. And everybody sort of winks and nods and says, let's just put this, you know, under a rug for a while. And hopefully it won't come back up.
So therefore, Berlin, Paris, and London have the same position, that if you don't bring it up, nobody will be upset.
That's right. I think so. They're not demanding that Iran fully account for whether or not its program is peaceful in order for sanctions relief to go through. So that pretty much says all we need to know.
Malcolm?
We see Russia playing a key role on both ends, within Tehran's own negotiating team, and then in Vienna playing the key honcho role and stating that Iran never expected to get this much as they are getting out of this deal. So first of all, what is Russia's demands in these negotiations? And they still have a $10 billion deal on the line to rebuild and expand the Bushehr nuclear reactor. Is there any limit on Russia?
That's right. That's a great question. This is why we saw Moscow halting the Iran talks in Vienna recently and trying to ensure at the very least that they will get some very important payouts or carve outs that are really vital to them under the strain of sanctions for the Ukraine invasion. So Moscow wants this deal so that it can carry out nuclear related projects in Iran. But that's not the only thing they want. There's real concern that Russia wants to use Iran as a sanctions evasion hub of sorts. I think just today, The Telegraph reported about a recent deal between Russia and Iran that Moscow obtained assurances that Tehran would help it get around U.S. sanctions through their financial systems. So in essence, Russian companies and banks and individuals that are under Ukraine sanctions would be able to carry out transactions with Iranian counterparts that would be freed from U.S. sanctions under the nuclear deal. And since the nuclear deal mandates that the U.S. must lift these sanctions on the Iranian entities, Washington could not then penalize them for carrying out Moscow transactions. I don't think the administration has really thought this through. The State Department said last week in response to a reporter's question that this was just a hypothetical wrapped in a hypothetical. So I think they really need to think about how they're going to counter illicit Russian financial activity through Iran.
Andrea, is there any evidence that in the region there are other states now looking at nuclear weapons because the presumption is Iran is a nuclear power soon enough?
I do believe there will be additional proliferation if Iran's enrichment program is allowed to continue. And it is, in fact, allowed to grow under the terms of the original JCPOA. And we don't expect that those terms are going to be extended or changed at all under a new accord. I think Turkey has said that they will develop nuclear weapons. Saudi Arabia certainly would if Iran does. We've seen that they've gotten Chinese assistance, perhaps on two uranium-related sites, hidden sites in the desert. No one has explained what these sites are, but they've been reported in the media. I also think the United Arab Emirates would be forced to reconsider whether they would undertake enrichment and possibly hedge or get closer to being able to make nuclear weapons.
Malcolm. Is Iran increasingly hiding in response to the international spotlight and the information Israel got from the archives, et cetera? We saw a pattern in the past, but are they hiding, doing more underground, like their drone center and others, with their nuclear program? And does that mean the IA will not have access to them?
Well, there's concern that they have always continued these nuclear weapons related projects. So the nuclear archive you mentioned, it's a set of files that Israel seized, the Mossad seized from Tehran in 2018. This is what the IAEA has been investigating and asking Iran about, not getting answers. Some of the information in the archive shows that in 2003, a lot of world governments thought Iran stopped a nuclear weapons program. But some of the memoranda in the archive by Iranian officials, minutes of meetings, show that they actually hid these nuclear weapons related projects at research institutes and then the most sensitive at military sites. So we know they planned to continue. And there's been signs that came out over the years that these are going on, but we have no indication, because the IA hasn't been able to investigate.
Andrea Stricker, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, Malcolm Hohnlein, I'm John Bash.
What if every student had a tutor and personalized learning was available to everyone? What if every family had a financial guide and their investments made for an optimistic future? What if every doctor could diagnose you in seconds and healthcare visits felt more personal? What if your business never slept and every customer's shopping experience felt like it was designed especially for them? It can with Agentforce, the powerful AI from Salesforce.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.